God's children were in bondage in Egypt's land for many years. When they cried unto their father through their pain and through their tears, then he raised a man named Moses to lead them to the promised land. When Moses said, Lord, I am nothing, God said, just trust me, the great I am. I am thy God, Jehovah. Is anything too hard for me? When the water's too high for crossing, I'll be there to part the sea. When the flames of doubt enfold you, I am the fourth man in the fire. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, you are my child. Though we walk through fiery trials, and though we trod the valley low, there's a refuge for God's children and a place where we can go. Just like Moses, I am helpless. By myself, I cannot stand. Then I hear the Savior whisper, just trust in me, the great I am. I am thy God, Jehovah. Is anything too hard for me? When the water's too high for crossing, I'll be there to part the sea. When the flames of doubt enfold you, I am the fourth man in the fire. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, you are my child. I am the rose of Sharon. I am your strength when you are weak. I am the great physician, the provider of all your needs. The lily in your valley when storms of life are raging wild. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, you are my child. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, you are my child.
Regretting the past, dreading the future, ashamed of my failures, bound by my fear. But the sweet God of comfort settled my heart when he spoke these words in my ear. My name is I each day. day in peaceful assurance, knowing through Christ what it means to be free. Worry and fear are no more my companions since the day He said to me, my name is I am. My name's not I was, my name's not I'll be, my name is I am. And today you can trust me, you can forget your past, I already have, and tomorrow I hold in my hands. Unashamed, unafraid, you can stand, my name is I am. My name's not I was, my name's not I'll be, my name is I am. And today you can trust me, you can forget your past, I already have, and tomorrow I hold in my hands. Unashamed, unafraid, you can stand. Unashamed, unafraid, you can stand. Unashamed, unafraid, you can stand. My name is I am.
This morning, your presence filled the room. With a grateful heart, I just shook my head as I bowed in awe of you. Lord, you have been so faithful, so loving, kind, and true. And every morning, your mercies are new. You have been good, you have been good, more than I could ever know.
What do you got a baggie on your head for, Nita?
Third person I'm telling, I hate getting my glasses wet.
Oh. Well, take them off. Then you can't see, right? Amen. We picked up a hitchhiker this morning. Good to see you, Danny. Well, we're going to pray a little bit, and then Brother Sinclair is going to speak to us. He came all the way from Alabama yesterday, and so he had a little bit of a trip, and he's going to spend a few days at the house, and then he's got some places he's going to, other places he'll be going, and so he'll share that with you. So let's pray for some people. I talked to Brother Kearney a couple times yesterday. Brother Kearney called me from Ghana, and just dealing with things. He has a young lady and her daughter. They have malaria, and they're really struggling. And then the sister of the one lady was going to get medicine and had an accident. And Chris, go help the Keys get in here, would you? Thank you. And so and then he had to deal with a leadership problem that is no fun, especially with cultural differences. And so please pray for Brother Kearney. He has to go deal with that this morning. He probably already dealt with it. And had to come back to his church to preach, so he had to be up there at 8:30, it always, when those problems comes, it always gives God a chance to teach us, and also a teaching moment for me as a pastor to share things with Brother Kearney, because he's ready to make sure he doesn't have to deal with that again, Lord willing. But you never know with people. People are people. Amen. So pray for Brother Kearney. I talked to Brother Ayuk yesterday. Brother Ayuk took a prerequisite pharmacist course. And he really thought that would get him on his way. But then he realized that there's 8 more years. And the classes are 8 in the morning till 9 at night. And you know, it's just, you know, no life for 8 years. And so Brother Ayuk is at a fork in the road. We've all been there, amen. And we just pray for Brother Ayuk with that and what's going on there. Of course, we're praying for our missions month, and our missions giving. We're planning on that. We'll talk about, we'll really zero in on that next week. And so, anybody else we're praying for? Your ladies with the cancer.
Yes. Yeah, so Elizabeth is getting a catheterization in her heart and a esophageal echo, something, a couple things are happening.
Okay.
For her to restart her chemo.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? How does elections come? How does elections finish up?
They did a tribunal this week. That last week, sorry. And they're like, yeah, nothing was rigged, and they just let him.
Surprise.
Yeah.
So is he president of North, East, and West, the whole country of Nigeria? Okay. So people just say that's the way it is, and they go ahead with it, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Well, we'll continue to pray for the country there. things are not going to get any better before the Lord comes back. Amen? And so, but the opportunities just keep opening up for us to witness. So, anybody else? Any update from your sister, Anita?
Nothing new. She's concerned about her friend.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray, and we'll start. Brother Arnold, lead us in prayer. Amen. Good to have Brother Sinclair with us. He's going to speak to us this morning, and it's a blessing to have him. He was missionary for several years. He'll tell you about that, but now he's an executive director of a mission board, and has experience. He knows what is happening out there on the field, right? And so it's a blessing to have him. Colmbrook.
Thank you so much. It is a joy to be here, and I've already enjoyed getting to know some of you before the Sunday school time, and what a blessing that is. And appreciate Pastor and the opportunity to be here with you. As he just mentioned, my family and I were missionaries for many years, about 20 years, probably 21 years from the time we were appointed to the time we moved back in December of this last year. And so the prayer cards are from our last furlough, and they still say Cameroon on there, all right? But I'm putting them back there still, because I'd really like you to take one of these and pray for our family as we go through this transition. My kids grew up in Africa there, and so they're going through a lot of transitions and challenges and everything that people face going off to college and moving to a new culture and everything else. And I've met some of the folks here, and you've been through some of that transition as well, and so we would appreciate your empathetic prayers for our family. As Pastor mentioned, since coming back, we've been working closely with Baptist World Mission and leading our 252 missionaries around the world in 49 different countries. And so I'm thrilled to be getting to know the missionaries and to know our board members and to be a blessing to just over 4,000 churches and supporters of our missionaries around the world. It's going to take a little while to get to know all those. I'm not sure I'll get to meet all of them, but hopefully we can be an encouragement to churches like this one who are serious about planting churches. You like that picture there with the little church getting planted there? Planting churches all over the world. And I know your church has a burden to do that. And so I'm glad to be here for your Missions Emphasis Month. I wish my family could be here, but you pray for them. The card's back there. There's some other things back there as well. Some information from our mission board. This is the messenger, which comes out four times every year. This is free. Everything in the middle of the table left is absolutely free on the table there. So you can sign up for this and receive articles and updates of what God is doing in mission fields around the world four times a year. That's free. You can get that by email, or you can get it by mail in this form as well. I encourage you to, if you have a smartphone, just click on that QR code there and go to that, fill it out, and you'll get that email every quarter. And again, I think that'll be a blessing. This last one has got update from a closed country in, I almost said the country, all right, somewhere in Asia. We're not supposed to say the names and places. We don't want our missionaries getting kicked out of there. So testimony of a missionary in Asia, in a country, and an outreach where he's going out this last month preaching the gospel in villages where they have never heard the name Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And then an update from Vancouver, Canada, an outreach to Farsi-speaking people originally from Iran, and several of those trusting Christ as Savior. And then also an update from Colombia, from Colombia, South America. An update will be in that as well. So those kind of things are in these messengers, and I hope if you're interested, you can get those. Then on the far right portion of the table, there are some books and a CD from our family. If you're interested in that, you can take a look at those. The prices are there. We basically sell those at cost online, And so if you have Amazon Prime, you can get those at cost. If you'd like to pick up one of those back there, those are available. And I haul those around, and hopefully those can be a blessing. There's one on missions, and then there's one on Pentecostalism, particularly the problem that we face in Africa with Pentecostalism. And then a book called Should Christians Drink Wine and Alcohol? I don't know why we have to answer that question. I think the Bible's pretty clear on that. I actually had a pastor, where was he from, Nevada, wrote me an email this week, and he said, "Brother, you're wrong," and he criticized the book and so forth. But there are five biblical principles, so I don't know why he's arguing with me. They're right out of the Bible, and hopefully that can be a blessing as well. Five biblical principles answering the question, should Christians drink wine and alcohol? And of course the answer is no. Biblically, we should not get involved in that. And so that book is back there as well, if that can be a help to you or somebody that you are discipling. Well, we'll share more as we go along. Pastor asked me to take this Sunday school period and be more of a testimony time. And so I'm going to give you 4 points right at the beginning, okay? And then share a testimony of how God used those principles in my own life. And so I'm going to ask the question, how does God lead? Have you ever wondered about that? How does God take a short little white guy growing up in Chicago and end up calling him to West Africa, where I lived in a village and my family were the only white people in the whole village, 20,000 people in the village? How does somebody end up in a situation like that? How does that happen? How does God lead? Maybe you have asked yourself that. How did I end up here in this part of Maryland, in this part of the world? Well, maybe you're asking yourself today, how do I know where God is going to lead me in the weeks, months, and years ahead? Well, I'm going to give you 4 biblical principles. We'll pray, and then I'm going to share a testimony, okay? Number one is God leads through this book right here. Number one, God's Word. God will never lead you contrary to this book right here. Never. When the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and then somebody says to you, well, God's given me this job, and yeah, I know I need to work on Sundays, and I need to work on Wednesdays, but God gave it to you. No, He didn't. Amen. God did not give you that job, all right? That contradicts God's Word, okay? God's Word is what leads. Number two, godly counselors. If God's given you godly counselors, and they're encouraging you according to God's Word, you better listen up. Young people, you listen to me? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Pastors have to give an account for those that God has put to lead their souls, the Bible says. And you better listen to your pastor when he's preaching from this book, all right? Number three, godly desires. I had a missionary friend email me this week, and he asked, how can we prevent people going into missions who aren't really called? And I wrote to him and I said, for everyone that thinks maybe God want them in missions, there are probably 10,000 that are disobeying God's call to go into missions, all right? I'm not worried about those ones that might be. The Bible says that God gives us godly desires. I believe that's the first qualification of a preacher. I know we like to go down to the blameless and husband of one wife and all those things. But the first one is, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good... If you don't have a desire to preach, that calling in your life, you're not qualified to be a preacher. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm already preaching the lesson. I said I was going to give you the points, all right? Number one is God's Word. Number two is godly counselors. Number three is godly desires. And number four is God-designed circumstances. Now listen, we need to be really careful with circumstances. We start with the book, right? Amen. But God does lead us sometimes through God-designed circumstances, or what the Bible calls open doors, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to share a testimony in the time we have. And I pray, God, as we get into your word, you would answer this question that we've asked, how does God lead? Lord, bless our time together. Be glorified in this Missions Emphasis Month, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as I mentioned, I was born just outside of Chicago. They're right on the border, actually, and in two blocks into Indiana, two blocks from East Chicago, and that part of the world, okay? Fishing in Lake Michigan and growing up in that corner of the harvest field. And I was very privileged to grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a deacon in the church that we attended. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. And for years and years, I grew up in the church. But you know what? Listen to me. Growing up in church does not make you a child of God. Did you know that? I used to say in Cameroon when I was preaching, we had a mango tree right behind the church building. And I would say to our people, you can climb up in that mango tree and hang from one of those branches like a mango fruit, but that does not make you a mango. All right? Just because you're hanging in a tree doesn't make you a mango fruit. And just because you're coming to church, that doesn't make you a child of God.
Amen.
I didn't realize that till I was 12 years old. An evangelist came to our church. He preached and shared his testimony, kind of like I'm doing this morning. And for the first time in my life, I realized just because my parents were big people in the church, that wasn't going to save me. That wasn't going to make me a child of God. Just because I carried my Bible to church every week, that didn't make me a child of God. I was a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid that penalty on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." Amen. And the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I had been baptized as a small boy. I had grown up in a Christian family, went to church every time the door of the church was open, went to a Christian school, and I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to hell. And I realized at the age of 12, I needed to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was scared to death. I remember gripping the chair that I was sitting in, thinking, if we get in a car accident on the way home, I'm going to hell. I'd never realized that before. We got home that night. By God's mercy, we arrived safely. Everybody in my family went to bed. I got down on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, "God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I deserve death and hell. I confess that your word says the wages of sin is death and hell forever." And I said, "God, I don't want to go to hell. I heard tonight from your word, the Bible, that if I will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be saved. I'm not believing in my baptism. I'm not trusting in my parents. I'm not trusting in my church. I'm trusting only in Jesus Christ to save me. Forgive me of my sin and give me that gift of eternal life." And you know what happened that night? I was saved.
Amen.
I didn't hear any angels. I didn't see any light coming in. Nothing like that happened. But you know what? My heart changed. I can remember that week we were going somewhere and my parents were in the front and I was in the back and I was looking out the window and I saw a guy walking down the sidewalk and I thought to myself, wonder where that guy is going to spend eternity, in heaven or in hell? I had never thought about that before. God had done a work in my heart. I got a desire to get in this book right here and read this book every day and begin a relationship with Jesus Christ I never had before. My life changed. Within the next year, as I was reading my Bible each day and going to church, within the next year, when I was 13 years old, God put that desire in my heart. I didn't realize it was a call to preach at that time, but God put a desire in my heart to preach. Now, if you had known me in junior high, you would have agreed with me that there was something really wrong about this burden and this call thing. And I tried to tell God that he had made a mistake. I tried to explain to him that my brother was the one that was really outgoing and liked standing up in front of people. And I was the shy, quiet one who couldn't look anybody in the eye. And but God was calling me to preach. And I argued with God and I tried to convince God and explain everything to God. And it wasn't working. Every time I opened my Bible, God was burdening me to surrender to preach. Every time I'd go to church, God was burdening me, putting this desire in my heart to preach. And I was confused. Can I just kind of skip ahead a little, just to confirm that? Because I see some of you are like, you look like you're doing fine looking at people in the eye now. You know, when I started Deputation, this is a true story. Even my wife, she wondered at what God did that work in my heart. When we started Deputation years ago, we were in a church in Illinois, just over the border from Indiana. And there was only one guy in the church that knew me. The pastor didn't know me. Nobody in the church knew me. Brother Jeff was the only guy in the church that knew me. He knew me from high school. And we used to play basketball together and so forth.
And so the pastor said, Brother Jeff, since you're the only one in the church that knows Brother Ben, why don't you introduce him tonight? And I'm telling you the truth. Brother Jeff got up. He said, I've known Brother Ben for a long time. We've known each other since high school. I'm so glad he's here tonight. We've been friends for a long time. And I'm looking forward to this message tonight because I cannot believe God called him to be a preacher. This guy was so quiet, so shy. I am looking forward to it. And my wife looked over at me and she's like, you've been telling the truth all this time. I said, I told you, God did a work in my life. It's not easy for me to stand up in front of people. My knees start shaking sometimes and I get nervous and I start sweating. It's not easy, but you know what? When God calls you to do something, he enables you to do it, even if you don't think you can do it in the flesh. Somebody said it this way, God doesn't call those who are qualified. He qualifies those who he calls.
Amen.
And that's exactly right. So you know what? That was God putting a desire in my heart. And finally, after arguing and struggling with God, I figured it out. I said, God, I know you can't use me as a preacher. This is a ridiculous thing, that is this idea in my heart. But I can't keep living like this. I'm miserable. I feel like Jonah. And so the service, I came forward, and I had it all figured out. I went forward, I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I can't keep living like this. I surrender all to you. I surrender. If you want me to be a preacher, I'll be a preacher. I know you don't want me to be a preacher, but I surrender to that. I'll do whatever you want me. I can't keep living like this. And you know what? God was serious. And God took me up on that. And I was serious. I yielded myself to God that night as a 13-year-old boy. And God confirmed in my heart that he was calling me to preach. Well, time went on, and I went through high school, and I knew God had called me to preach, and so I thought, well, I probably should get some training. And we went and visited some Bible colleges, and my parents were very supportive and very encouraging. So I picked out one. It was a small school. It wasn't one of these big schools where you kind of get lost. And I was a shy person, so I thought, well, this one looks like a good one. I like this one. So I applied, and I got accepted, and time was ready. Summer was passing, and I was ready to go off to college. And my parents took me out to lunch one day, and they said, Ben, which was kind of weird, because if we went out to lunch, my brother and I both came, but they didn't take my brother, they just took me. And they said, look, we have something to share with you. We don't have peace about you going to that Bible college. It's a good college. We don't have anything negative to say about it, but God just hasn't given us peace about you going to that Bible college. I thought to myself, you're the ones that took me to visit the school. What do you mean? I'm thinking to myself, I haven't applied anywhere else. I know God's called me to preach. What am I supposed to do? And I really struggled with that. You know what? I came to a juncture in my life where I had to decide, am I going to listen to godly counselors in my life? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. My father just passed away last year. But you know what? Right up to that end, if I had an important decision to make, I would call my dad. I'd say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? I'm praying about this. This is a big decision. Do you have any input? You know, children need to honor their parents. There's no expiration date on that. And there's a lot of wisdom, according to the Scriptures, in listening to godly counselors. In fact, let's look at this one. Turn it to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Pastor, do you allow folks to speak in Sunday school? Is that okay? Can somebody read that verse out loud?
Yeah.
Proverbs 11, verse 14. Can somebody read that verse out good and loud? Proverbs 11, 14. I should have started. Go ahead, Danny. Help me out here. That's a biblical principle right there. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I came to that juncture in my life. My parents said, we don't believe God is direct in this way. And I yielded. Thank God. I yielded to that. I worked for a year. I continued in the bus ministry that year. I continued in my local church, walking with the Lord in daily devotions. And that summer, the Lord took us to a family camp, a Christian camp, where they also had a Bible college. And the Lord used that circumstance, right? Didn't we talk about that? Godly circumstances to direct me to the Bible college that I went to. It was at that Bible college I met my wife. It was at that Bible college I first heard about Cameroon. And the Lord directed through those circumstances. In fact, let's look at some scripture. In fact, can I get 4 volunteers to look up 4 different verses? Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Who can read that one? Right there, Acts 14, 27. Who can read 1 Corinthians 16, 9? Who can read 1 Corinthians 16, 9? Yes, ma'am, thank you. Who can read 2 Corinthians 2:12? 2 Corinthians 2:12. Uh-oh. Don't scratch your head. I'll call on you. Yes, ma'am. All right, right there. 2 Corinthians 2:12 and Colossians 4:3. Thank you. Colossians 4, verse 3. I want everybody to listen to these verses and listen for a key word in all of these verses. Okay, you listen for them. Start right over here with Acts 14, 27, please.
Acts 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles.
Very good. Thank you so much. Who's got 1 Corinthians 16:9?
For great a door is effectual and opened unto me, and there are many adversaries.
Yes. Right next to you there, 2 Corinthians 2:12, please.
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord.
Amen. And finally, Colossians 4:3. I hope you're listening right up here. Colossians 4:3. Listen for that key word. Here it comes. It's a little book. It's in there somewhere, though.
With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds.
All right. Did anyone hear the key word in all those verses? Yes. That's right. An open door. A door to proclaim. A door of utterance. All these different open doors that God
Amen.
Did,
That's
all right?
Right? That's right.
And so God used circumstances to open the door for me to go to this Bible college. God opened the door for a missionary from Cameroon to say, look, we are serving in this country. We'd love to have young people come over and visit. God opened that door. I wish I could tell you. I started praying about Cameroon in college. I said, God, I don't even have enough money to pay my school bill. How am I going to take a trip somewhere as a missions major? But for some reason, you put this desire in my heart about Cameroon. God, if you want me to go to Cameroon, you provide. And I went to my mailbox that week as I was praying every day for Cameroon. And there was a letter from a lady in our church. She said, Lord, just put you on my heart this week. I pray for you regularly, but God wanted me to send you a check this week. Here's a check for $25. Spend it on whatever you need. I was like, wow, $25. I never got a check in the mail. This is amazing. The next week, same thing happened. A man in our church, he said, Brother Ben, I've been praying for you. The Lord burdened me to send this check, a check for $20. Spend it on laundry or whatever God's, whatever you need, spend it on whatever. And I started collecting that, and I knew that God was going to provide for me to take that trip to Cameroon. And he did, and he opened that door. And the rest is history, right? God opened the door to serve him there in Cameroon. So we've seen at that point, here I am going off to Bible college. And the first summer, or the first year, I was a Bible major. I didn't know what God had for me yet. That summer, I worked at a Christian camp. And at that Christian camp, I'm praying, God, show me your direction and will for my life. And in that Christian camp, the pastor that came in preached from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We call the Great Commission. And God used that Great Commission. I am sad to say, for the first time in my life, I realized the Great Commission was a command. I thought the Great Commission was just for missionaries, because I guess the only time I heard it was in missions conferences. And I realized for the first time in my life, between my freshman and sophomore year, that the Great Commission is for everybody in this room. And it blew me away. I was like, well, if God's commanded me to go to the world, then I probably need a special calling to stay here and do something else. And so I came forward, and three of us went forward that evening in that camp service. I was supposed to be a counselor, but I came forward anyway. And two of us ended up as missionaries in Africa. All right, two of the three of us that went forward that night ended up as missionaries. What was that? Once again, it was God's word that was directing in my life. And so sure enough, as time went on, God opened that door, as I've already mentioned, to visit Cameroon, and so the Lord used that. Now, I'd like you to turn, if you would, please, in these last few minutes, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 105. Psalm 119, longest psalm in the Bible. And then look at Psalm 100, or verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I've said that God uses His word, God's word, godly counselors, godly desires, and God-designed circumstances to lead and direct in our lives. But I want to emphasize again, none of those other things will ever contradict God's word. Ever. Start with God. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Get in this book every day. Yes, seek godly counselors. Yes, ask people to pray for you. But get in this book every day.
Amen.
The verse says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Cameroon, we have a very long dry season, 4 months of a dry season, and then we have 8 months of a rainy season, and we thank God for the rainy season. That's wonderful. But in the dry season, there is this what's called harmattan dust. The air currents up in the Sahara Desert blow this fine dust up into the atmosphere, and then the atmosphere carries it all over the rest of Africa. And so we get this harmattan dust. It's thick. Normally in the rainy season, I could look out my back door across the valley and see waterfalls and mountains and beautiful scenery. In the dry season, I can't even see past my yard. It is so thick with dust. And then they burn the grass. They burn the grass every dry season so that it grows back lush and green for the cattle and whatever. It grows back green, I guess. And so they burn that. And so you've got smoke. Have you ever seen these wildfires out in California and the whole air is just clouded with smoke? That's the way it is. So you have all this dust and you have all this smoke. And when I say dust, I mean dust. Like, I mean, you get up in the morning and you wash the table to get ready for breakfast, and you go to the kitchen and you get your bowls, and you come back to the table, I mean, like 15 seconds later, and you can write your name in the dust on the table. That's how much dust there is in the air, okay? And so that's how thick it is. And you go out with your bush lamp, they call them bush lamps, it's just a kerosene lamp, and you walk up the trail and you try to get somewhere, and you know what? You cannot see very far in the dark with the dust and the smoke in the air. You can only see right in front of you. Just like this verse says, "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path." You know what? God is not going to probably tell you His plan for your life 10, 20, 30 years from now. If you told me last year at this time that I would be living in Alabama, traveling all over the country, preaching in church, I would have said, "You're crazy. I'm starting a church here in Cameroon. This is where I want to spend the rest of my life." I would have been shocked. But you know what? One step at a time, God's word, godly counselors, God-ordained circumstances, godly desires, God leads and directs in that way. And here I am. And here you are. And I hope you're following God's word. And I hope you're seeking godly counselors. And I hope you're looking at those spiritual, godly desires that God's putting in your heart. Not for carnal things, not for the things of this world, not for possessions, not for money, but those spiritual desires that God puts in our hearts. And God designed circumstances. Those open doors, not just open doors. Again, the devil can open doors too. He opens doors to distract us and lead us down. Oh, look at this big job. Oh, God's given me this job. Are you sure it isn't the devil give you that prosperous job? You need to be careful.
Wow.
I was in a church in South Carolina, and there was a doctor there, and this doctor had been offered a position in a different state. He was going to be making twice as much money in this position as a medical doctor than where he was there in South Carolina. And the church was rejoicing, and they had a farewell service for him and his family and so forth, and we had met them on deputation. Now we were seeing them on furlough, and we were saying our goodbyes because we knew them and we didn't think we'd see them again. And so we went back to Cameroon. We came back on a furlough, and Dr. Dersch was still in the church. I said, "Dr. Dersch, they had a farewell service for you last time. What happened? What are you doing back in the church?" He goes, "Well, we actually never left." He said, "We were searching and searching and searching for a good church in that area, and we could not find a good church in that area to raise our kids. So you know what?
Amen.
I turned down that job where I could have been making twice as much money to stay right where we were in this church to raise our kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord."
Amen.
You know, there are so few people that recognize that the devil opens doors too.
Amen.
He can open doors that will just totally destroy your marriage and your family. I'm talking about God-ordained circumstances. I'm talking about God opening doors. I'm talking about things that don't contradict this book right here. And so I hope these biblical principles have been a help. I'm going to round up here in our last 5 minutes and ask you to turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. If you do not have these verses memorized, can I just give you that challenge right now? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Would you memorize these two verses? I cannot tell you how many times in counseling as a pastor and now as executive director of a mission board and talking to missionaries and communicating, and they'll say, "Brother Ben, I'm really praying and seeking God's direction." I cannot tell you how many times I quote this verse in a year when trying to encourage people as they're seeking the Lord's direction for their life. Are you there? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. If you're there, would you read or quote these verses with me? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It begins, "Trust in the Lord." Ready? Begin. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That is a promise from God himself. If you will trust him, not in some of your ways, but in all of your ways. If you will stop leaning on your own understanding, that is trying to figure it out on your own. If you will acknowledge him, that's a big word that means know him. Seek to know him. And he will what? He will direct your paths. That is a promise. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you've been praying and you've been asking God, "God, show me your will. How is God going to lead me?" Get in this book every day.
Amen.
God's word is like a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Godly counselors, there is safety among godly counselors. God ordained open doors. And then, as I said, godly desires. And the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, so make sure those godly desires are godly desires, that they come from this book and they line up with this book, okay?
Amen.
God's word. He will direct thy paths.
Amen.
Let's pray together and I'll turn it over to Pastor. Father, we thank you that when we as mankind in the Garden of Eden disobeyed you, you did not just throw us into hell and end it all right there. You patiently, lovingly gave us your revelation and your direction. And by faith, we can trust you and follow you, and you will direct our paths. God, there's someone here today, and they're wondering what it is you have for their life. Pastor talked about coming to a fork, a decision in life, and all of us have been there, and maybe some are here even today. God, would we claim this promise that we would trust you and seek your word every day and claim that promise that you will direct our paths. God, direct us, we pray. In humility we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor. Amen. Now remember, this missions conference, this missions month, is for us, first of all, to ask God what he would give through us so we can send missionaries. For every church that God used the Sinclairs to start in Cameroon, there are probably 1,000 villages without churches that need churches. And it's true all over that continent, and it's true now in America. We need churches in Maryland. And so we need to ask God to give so we can give through us. And not what I can give, what God can give through me. You know, I've been in the construction business and contracting, and when you build a building, you put that new plumbing in, and you pray to God there's no leaks. And the time comes when he puts pressure on it, and the sprinkler system with the riser they build, you test it, you put pressure on it, you pray that there's no leaks, and it just able to go through and do its job. And God needs some people that just He can just give through. That's what he wants, and you need to understand that. You say, preacher, you're talking about money. Yes, I am. And the Lord, when you went to Cameroon, you guys ate, didn't you?
That's right.
Ate, and you needed to wash your clothes, and you had takes money, and God uses churches to support missionaries. And so we need to pray. I need you to pray personally. And then I want to say this especially to young people. I want to ask you to ask God, would he use you? And if he wouldn't use you here in this church, would he use you to go to the mission field? And God reaches down in churches like ours and taps the shoulders, the hearts of people like you and me, and says, hey, I want you to go. Will you be open? Will you be open? And then the third thing is for us to remember, we need to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And take those tracts and pass them out. There's people you'll never have time to talk to, but you'll be able to share Christ with. And so that's what it's all about. Well, we ladies got some food for us after the next service, so we'll take some time, and then we'll start right straight up at 11 o'clock. All right, you're dismissed.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel,
no, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Won't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine till Jesus comes.
I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. 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 Let it shine.
Last nail was driven, the cross was raised to the sky. His mother and a few faithful friends watched him slowly die. Father, it is finished. Now I'm in your hands. They thought that it was over, but they did not understand. When he said it is finished, that was just the beginning for me. Sealed in the tomb, I was set free, for he knew he'd walk out of that grave in only 3 days with a key. When he said it is finished, that was just the beginning.
Yeah. was just the beginning for me.
Thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the sea. But I didn't find what I really need. Truth that I've been searching for, I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways that I think are best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet, for it's here I find everything I need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve.
Desire shall ever be.
this world just can't supply. Jesus gives that living water, and He's the only one that satisfies.
Rescue the Perishing, we'll sing the first, the third, and the last.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, cursed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Please remain standing. We'll sing Little Is Much. When God is in it, we'll sing the first and the last.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
All right, Jordan, speak up real loud. Jordan brought a friend.
Jordan.
And introduce your friend.
This is
Jalen. It's Jalen. And he said it's his girlfriend. Do you believe it? Amen. Jalen, good to have you. and welcome. Make yourself at home. Let's get around, shake hands with each other, welcome each other to the service. Today, and I want to remind you that we have, as soon as we finish here with our morning service, we're going to fellowship around some food. Amen. But let me just encourage you, because we're getting in a bad practice, and what we're doing is we're leaving after the meal, and we still have one more message. Now, Brother Sinclair, as well as the other missionaries that come, but know that after you eat, it's usually siesta time, right? So we're just going to let you eat, and we're gonna kind of preach a little bit. He's not gonna preach long, and I told him we don't snore too loud, and so he said that's okay, we've compacted the services for today, so we don't have an evening service. And Brother Sinclair is going to be able to go to another church this evening, and so that'll help him be able to communicate and connect with some other people. So but we'll be back to next month. We'll be back to our Sunday evening services. I there's a lot of people that are not having their Sunday evening services. And, you know, I was thinking about this on the way in church today. You know, we shouldn't be figuring how infrequently we can come to church, we should be wanting to have more church. Now look, I'm not going to start scheduling more services so you can say amen. I'm not looking for that encouragement. But I called my preacher friend Todd Bell in Maine, and I said, "Hey Todd, you still saved?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you still having Sunday night services?" Because he called me 2 months ago. He says, "Are you still having your Sunday night services?" Yeah, why? He said, "My home church and these churches are stopping their Sunday night services." I said, "Are you still having yours?" He said, "Son, are we still having ours?" So I knew something was coming. When somebody from the South says "son," that means you're fixing to hear something in their language, right? He said, "Sunday night, one of the unassuming young men in my Bible study on Sunday morning brought two young men Sunday night from, and they play for the local football team. He said they both trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior." He said, and this talking about tonight. He said, "Next Sunday night, the whole football team is coming to see those two boys baptized." He said, "We're having Sunday night services, amen." And so be faithful to church. And the ladies have some good food out there, and we'll have a good time with that. And my wife brought some souped up cupcakes. They'll go quick, but. There's a lot of stuff. There's food and drink. You can sit there and fellowship a little bit with each other, and we'll enjoy that. So be available for that. Be praying for that. Don't forget, in October, first Sunday in October, we're going to be starting our Sunday school classes up, divided up into Sunday school classes, and we'll meet in here, and then we'll divide and go to those Sunday school classes, and we've got some special things we want to study and special things that are going on. And so we're excited about that. We're not done with this year yet, but God's already given me some thoughts in my heart concerning next year and the thought of next year, 2024, it will be, right? And I'm thinking about the thought of the time is now. I won't tell you what I'm going to preach on Sundays, but it'll be exciting. And we'll be back first Sunday of October. We'll be back in Esther. Amen? And Esther, Haman's out of the way, and Esther is outed as a Jewess, and Mordecai is elevated, and the Jews have been given the law that they can defend themselves, and let me tell you, this next chapter is something. So you pray about that and just be there. Be praying for the rest of the missions conference. We'll have a great time, and with the remainder, be praying for God to give through you what He would have you give for the missions year. Amen. Amen. Talked to Brother Kearney yesterday, and Brother Kearney has a lady in his church with malaria. She almost died, and she's in the hospital, and her daughter has it too, and they're not doing well, not feeling good, and the sister was going to get some medicine for him and had an accident. So, and then Brother Kearney had to deal with a leadership problem for a pastor in another church, so he had to deal with that this morning at 8:30. And then go back to preach. And he called me yesterday, want me to pray with him and talk to him and encourage him. And so continue to pray for our missionaries. And it's always happening, isn't it? And so it's great to have Brother Sinclair with us. And he's going to be coming in a little bit. But let's have some ushers come and we'll receive God's tithes and our offerings. And let's give as the Lord directs. We need another usher on this side, Cornelius. Thanks for volunteering. Come on right up here, grab this plate. Amen. Amen. You got it all together there? Okay. Pray for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we're here today, Lord. Be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. not. You can't see me there. You can't see me there. Get on. Turn around. Sit on the floor. Come on. Hello. How are you? Hey, buddy. Did you get your shoe? Did you get that shoe straight? It's okay now. All right. Come on down. How's everybody doing? You doing okay? I want to talk to you. We talked about missionaries last week. I want to talk to you about something you can do, and somebody can what you do, you can help somebody to be saved. It's real simple. How many of you know what this is? It's a track. Okay, how many adults, help us. What is this? All together, ready? It's a what? It's a gospel track. Now what this is, it's a pamphlet that is it's printed, and it's got scripture in it from the Bible. And the scripture tells people how they can be saved. You know that people have received these gospel tracts and they read them, and God convicted their hearts and they trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Do you know that? It has happened. We played a video last week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, we're singing Be a Missionary. We're going to get the adults to help us. But I want everybody to take one of these. Don't tear it up. And I want you to give it to somebody. Okay? Mom and Dad will help you. Here you go, Horatio. Don't eat it. Here. The boy's always hungry. He's a growing boy. There you go. There you go. Thank you. All right, let's sing Be a Missionary. Ready? Adults, help us. Ready?
Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. Be it in the town or country or the busy avenue. Africa or Asia, the task is up to you, so be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. The Lord is soon returning, there is no time to lose, so be a missionary, God's own emissary. Be a missionary today. Let's go!
All right, thank you. Stop by, see Miss Creech. She has a treat for you. There you go. They're moving now. Good job. Good job. Good job, man. What you got there? You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, go give that to your daddy. Go get your treat. Go get your treat.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all again for being here. Appreciate that song very much. Do you love to tell the old story?
Amen.
What a blessing. To those who've never heard, telling the old, old stories, to those who know it best. I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to participate in the Sunday school time. And for those who weren't here for Sunday school, I had the opportunity to share a little bit of my testimony during that time. And it's really just a testimony of the old story. I grew up, as I said this morning, in a Christian family, Christian home, Christian school, and had many, many advantages to that. But you know what? Growing up in a Christian family and in a Christian school and going to church, as I said this morning, does not make you a child of God.
Amen.
At some point, you need to hear the old, old story, and you need to understand that you're a sinner, just as I did, that you're a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I know there's lots of churches and lots of religions. They tell you if you get baptized, it'll wash away your sin. The Bible doesn't say that. That's not what the Bible says baptism is all about. Some will say, well, you've got this list of sacraments, and if you do all this stuff, then God will give you the grace and everything will be okay. That's not in the Bible. You don't find the word sacrament in the Bible. It's not in there. And some will say, well, if you do more good than bad, then everything will be okay. But again, that's not taught in the Bible.
Right.
In fact, the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, that's the best that we can muster up, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Right.
So even if there was a scale in heaven with all good and all bad, everything you've ever done would be on the bad side because it's not a faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says whatsoever is not a faith is sin. You realize you can give a donation to the poor $1 million, and if you're not a child of God, it's sin according to the Bible, because you're doing it so people will maybe brag on you or doing it to impress. I don't know what the motivation would be, but the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wow, when I realized that as a 12-year-old boy, I was shocked. And I heard the old, old story.
Amen.
And it came clear to me that I was a sinner. And the wages of sin is death and hellfire forever. But, I'm thankful for that conjunction right there. But God loves you and me. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, you cannot save yourself. You are a sinner. You and I, we were born on our way to the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. But God loves you. And God doesn't want anyone in this room to die and go to hell. He loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die in your place. And when He died, He said, "It is finished." There's no more work. I remember witnessing to a nun, a Catholic nun one day, and I was trying to explain the old, old story to her. And she said, "No, no, no, Pastor Ben, no. Jesus played His part on the cross, and now we need to play our part for salvation." I said, "Sister, listen, Jesus said, it is finished. There's no more part to play. He played it all. He died for you on the cross, and it is finished. There's no more work to be done. It's up to us now. Are we going to receive that gift by faith in Jesus? Are we going to keep trying? Are we going to keep working? You go out witnessing. I was talking to my mom yesterday as I was driving up, and we were talking on the phone while I was driving, and she was witnessing to this person, and she went out door to door yesterday, and she knocked on this door, and this lady said to her, "I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm trying my best." Have you ever talked to somebody like that?
Yeah.
You can never get to heaven by trying. The Bible says you will fall short of the glory of God if you try to get to heaven. You have to come to a place where you understand the old, old story that you're a sinner. Christ died for you. You need to stop trying, and you need to trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. The moment you stop trying and you trust in Jesus Christ who did it all, in that moment, you will be saved. And you'll know what these ladies were singing about and why they get so excited about telling the old, old story. Well, that's it right there, the old, old story.
Amen.
If you don't know that story, I hope today will be the day you stop trying
and you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing today. Well, I am so grateful to be here for your Missions Emphasis Month. Right there, you see it on the 10th, Ben Sinclair Baptist World Mission. And Pastor wanted me to share a little bit of my history so that you have an idea. And we have a video that we put together for our last furlough, which tells a little bit about our ministry. 20-something years there in Cameroon, West Africa. And Brother Chris, are we ready back there? All right, we're going to go ahead and show that video, and then we'll come back and preach on missions, okay? Greetings from the Sinclairs here in Cameroon. It's hard to believe it's been more than 21 years since we were first sent out by our local church, Calvary Independent Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And it's been more than 21 years since we were appointed as church planting missionaries with Baptist World Mission.
After Prefield Ministries, we got on a plane headed to Cameroon with our preschooler, Drew, our toddler, Kate, and our three-month-old infant, Emma.
My name is Andrew. I've lived in Cameroon for most of my life. I enjoy reading, writing, and listening to music.
I'm Kate, and my favorite activities to do when I'm on the field include writing, baking, and spending time with my cat, August.
Hello, my name is Emma. I'm a musician. I also love to read, and I like the outdoors.
My name is Faith Ann. I love swimming, drawing, and making silly videos with my siblings.
In 2007, with our co-workers, the Yiders, God enabled us to establish the Faith Baptist Church of Bemenda and the Bible Baptist Church of Bambili. Each year, I was asked to teach in the Fundamental Bible Institute of Sabga. This institute has trained more than a dozen men who have started more than 20 churches in West Africa. The Ministry of Education in Cameroon requires all students to take a weekly course called Moral Instruction. For more than a dozen years, we volunteered to teach this course in multiple public and private schools in our area. We have seen hundreds of students saved through the years from this exciting ministry. From 2008 to 2015, we saw the establishment of the Faith Baptist Church in Benakuma and the Faith Baptist Church of Benede. Even though these churches both had national leadership, the Civil War has nearly decimated both of these villages. Thankfully, some of the residents are coming back. One of the young men from Benakuma is in Bible college today, planning to return to his home tribe to revive these churches and plant new ones after his graduation. Around 2012, we started the Faith Baptist Bible College in Bemenda in order to train men and women for the ministry. Several of these students are in church leadership and church planting ministries today. In 2015, we began weekly evangelistic and discipleship trips into the village of Akum. Pastor Eugene, the first man ordained and sent out of Faith Baptist Church of Bemenda, eventually established the Living Water Baptist Church of Akum. From 2016 to 2018, I would pick one of the men in our Bible college to go with me as we made weekly overnight evangelistic and discipleship trips to the town of Kumbo. Kumbo is the second largest town in the Northwest region. In 2017, the separatist movement became an armed movement. Before this group in Kumbo of faithful believers could be officially organized into a local church, we were forced to evacuate Cameroon. It was on October 30th, 2018, that our lives and ministries were turned upside down. Our new co-workers, the Charles Wesco family, had just arrived and were excited about working with us in reaching Cameroon for Christ. On that fateful day, as we made our routine trip to Bemenda, Brother Charles Wesco was shot and killed. We were forced to evacuate the area. While still in shock, we escorted Stephanie and her precious 8 children back to Indiana to be with her family. We began to ask God, what do we do now? The Lord gave me a burden to share Charles Wesco's testimony with young people across America. We began to pray that God would call and send 100 new missionaries to Cameroon. For the next year, I traveled from coast to coast, preaching in churches, Christian schools, and Bible colleges. Several times per week that year, I had the privilege of preaching Christ, sharing Brother Wesco's testimony, and appealing to both young and old to obey the Great Commission. God brought more than a dozen to faith in Christ. Scores were called and surrendered to be missionaries, and God provided the healing and direction we needed that year to return to Cameroon and continue reaching Cameroon for Christ in one of the French-speaking regions. This past term, we worked with Pastor Eugene and his family, who relocated to the town of Kribi. Kribi is the largest city in the south region of Cameroon. With its newly constructed deep-sea port, Kribi is growing exponentially. By God's grace, the Bible Light Baptist Church has been established in this chief city and is faithfully pastored by one of our former Bible College students. For the past 21 years, our passion and mission has been to preach the gospel, baptize believers, train disciples, and plant autonomous New Testament local churches in Cameroon. Our strategy has been to follow the pattern of Paul in Acts chapter 16. When God called Paul's missionary team to reach Macedonia, the Bible explains that Paul planted churches in the chief cities of Macedonia. Our prayer has been that God would use us and raise up other ministers to plant fundamental Baptist churches in each of the 10 regional capitals of Cameroon. Over the past 21 years, God has raised up missionaries like us to plant churches in Yaoundé, Douala, Buya, Bafoussam, Bamenda, and during this past term, God established the Bible Light Baptist Church in Kribi. I spent much of this past term studying and practicing the French language. I did not expect to see much fruit because of the language barrier, but with the number of English-speaking refugees and with Pastor Eugene's ability to speak French, we did have the joy of seeing people saved, baptized, and discipled. Becca met with the young ladies each Saturday afternoon for fun and fellowship. Becca took these girls through the Spiritual Growth Series discipleship book we wrote several years ago. It has been a blessing to see the Lord work in the lives of both French and English-speaking people. So thank you so much for your faithful partnership these past 21 years. We trust that you will continue to pray for us and partner with us over the next 21 years and beyond. And to God be the glory for the great things He has done. And to God be the glory as we continue in obedience to His great commission. So we rejoice and thank the Lord again for what He has done in Cameroon, but we also look forward to what God is doing in Cameroon. As you heard in the video, we began praying at the memorial service of Charles Wesco that God would raise up 100 new missionaries to Cameroon. The conflict and the crisis is still going on in the northwest and the southwest, but the other eight regions, there are 10 regions, the other eight regions are pretty much business as usual, if I can put it that way. We came back, as you mentioned in the video, we began to ask the Lord to raise up more laborers. And during that year, traveling across the country, God called about 25 people to Cameroon, not counting the scores of other people called to missions in general. And so I'm thrilled to say with Baptist World Mission, we are seeing the first fruits of that. The Sanderlin family just left last month for language school in France, so they can learn French, and they are on their way to Cameroon and in Africa. We also, about a month ago, I was in a church in Michigan of a young man, just finished high school, and he is attending Ambassador Baptist College this semester for the first time. He's a freshman missions major, and he is also on his way to Cameroon. Three or four months ago, I was in a conference in Wisconsin, and there's a Bible college there in Wisconsin, Falls Baptist Church, and they have a Baptist College of Ministry Bible College, and I met two young men who were called to missions that year when I was able to travel around and preach, and both of those young men are on their way to be missionaries in Asia, and so we're trusting the Lord to continue to raise up missionaries. I am thrilled now to be living in North Alabama and connected with Baptist World Mission. As I said in Sunday school, we are the service agency for 252 missionaries in 49 different countries, including Cameroon, missionaries around the world.
And we are partnering with local churches like this one, 4,000 supporters like this one that are involved in partnering with missionaries through Baptist World Mission. And so we are thrilled to be here today, not just to talk about Baptist World Mission and Cameroon, of course my heart is in Cameroon, but to talk about missions in general. What is this thing called the Great Commission? Why would somebody like Charles Wesco take his family to Cameroon during a civil war, knowing the risk? Why would somebody do that? Well, I want to take our time this morning to try and answer that question. I'll be here through the mealtime, and as Pastor said, a very brief, probably not even a sermon. Let's call it a sermonette after the meal today, okay? Very brief challenge. But I hope if you have any questions, we could talk and discuss during that time. At this time, I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as I said, I'd like to share a testimony of Charles Wesco and then preach from a passage that the Lord has laid on my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And when you reach there, would you all stand with me, please? 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I like to make this distinction by asking you to stand. It makes a clear distinction between my word and God's word, okay? What we're about to read is God's word. And I may stumble or I may make a mistake here or there, but there are no mistakes in this book right here, all right? This is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, God's word says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this calling in each of our lives to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we take this responsibility seriously, just as every soldier needs to take their role and commission seriously. Bless our moments, our time together. Bless your word by your Holy Spirit in our lives today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, Pastor gave me a time frame, and time is really flying. So, We will try to fit as much as we can in here. But going back to that question, why would Charles Wesco take his family into the situation that he did? I think this passage gives us a little glimpse, and I want to share part of his testimony. You see, in this passage, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to his, as he calls him, his son in the faith, Timothy. And he begins, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, your pastor has probably told you at some point, whenever you see the word therefore or wherefore in the Bible, you need to go back and see what the therefore, the wherefore is there for.
Right.
Okay? I don't have time to go through the whole chapter 1, okay? But that's what this verse is referring to. Because of the things that I pointed out in chapter 1, we need to be good soldiers. Well, what were some of those things? In chapter 1, Paul talks about service and tears and fear and being a prisoner and afflictions and suffering and all of his friends abandoning him in the work of the ministry. And in verse 16, he talks about chains. Paul is literally in chains as he writes these words to his son in the faith. Now listen to me. I know if you turn on the television today, you'll probably hear some message from some false preacher saying that if you follow Christ, everything in life will be great. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise if you just follow Christ. Let me tell you something. That's not the gospel of the Bible. The Bible says if you're going to follow Christ, it's going to come with afflictions. But listen to me. Jesus is going to go with you. He's going to be with you. Listen, we live in a world where there is corruption and disease and problems and financial difficulties, and everybody in the world faces those challenges. Some people face them alone, And some people go with those problems with Jesus.
Amen.
Are you walking with Jesus today? Are you a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Hey, we're all going to face afflictions. The question is, are you going through those afflictions with Jesus, or are you trying to go through those afflictions alone? We live in a sin-cursed world, and there are problems. Well, Brother Charles Wesco was born in 1974 at an Air Force base in Michigan. And 4 years later, Charles Wesco, as a little four-year-old boy, understood the old story that those ladies were singing about this morning.
Amen.
And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And you know what? Charles was the oldest of 10 children in his family. And I remember the first time I met the Wesco family. And I was in their home there in Indiana. And you can imagine, there was a very big table. If you have a family with 10 kids, there's a big table somewhere in that house, all right? And as I sat at that big long table and I looked into their living room, above the fireplace, I saw a painting. It wasn't a painting of a beautiful sunset or some kind of gorgeous vista. It was a painting of a bow and 10 arrows. And on each of those arrows was the name of each of the Wesco children. All 10 of their names were on each of those, each one of the name was on one of those arrows. Every day the Wesco children were reminded that they were being raised to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminded me of Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, where the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." You know, today people are trying to raise their children to fit into society, to be successful in society, to be, and they want them to be well-adjusted children to this world. But you know what? God's definition of success often looks very different than this world's definition of success. Can I ask you to turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we find the only verse in the entire Bible where you will find the word success. This is it. It's only found one time in the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good," what? "Success." It's the only verse in the Bible you'll find the word success. And our success is directly related to what we do with this book. Notice it doesn't say if you follow this book you'll be famous. It doesn't say you'll be wealthy. It says if you will meditate in this book and obey it, you will be a success according to God. What do you do with this book? Do you meditate in this book each day? Are you memorizing this book? Are you obeying this book? You cannot be a success in life without a daily walk, meditation, and obedience to this book. Charles Wesco grew up not only meditating and memorizing books of the Bible. In fact, when he was killed, he had Ephesians photocopied in his pocket because he was memorizing the book of Ephesians when he was killed. Meditating in thy word day and night. Well, I wish I have so much to share, but when Brother Wesco was 12 years old on his birthday, his grandfather had started a piano factory. His grandfather owned the Walters Piano Factory. And so at 12 years old, his grandmother gave him a tuning fork so that he could learn to tune pianos. And Brother Wesco had a blind friend, a blind man who taught him how to tune pianos. Fortunately, you don't need your eyes to tune pianos. And so this guy taught him how to tune a piano. And Brother Wesco became the youngest person in America to pass the registered pianos technician exam. And he started a piano tuning business there in North Indiana. As a teenager, he would go around tuning pianos at Notre Dame University, Purdue University, and churches all over Northern Indiana tuning pianos. His grandfather's piano factory, sometimes he would stay up all night tuning a dozen pianos so that they could be shipped out the next day because people had purchased those and they were being shipped out. And you know what? Brother Charles' business started to grow. In fact, as a teenager in high school, Charles Wesco's business was making tens of thousands of dollars. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, I was not making tens of thousands of dollars, all right? But Brother Wesco was. In fact, by the time he was ready to get married, he didn't go to the bank and look for a mortgage. He just went out and paid cash and bought his house. I mean, that's the kind of money he was making as a 20 and 30-year-old man. Charles Wesco could have easily been a multi-millionaire by the time he retired, but something happened. At the age of 40, with 8 children, the commander-in-chief of the universe called one of his soldiers, Charles Wesco, to be a missionary in Africa. And you know what he said? Yes, sir.
Wow.
We're in a missions emphasis month. Listen to me very carefully. If we come to the end of the month and everyone in this church is willing to be a missionary, this has been a very unsuccessful missions conference. Because the Bible never asks us to be willing to serve. The Bible commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible does not ask you to be willing to be a missionary. The Bible does not ask you to be willing to be a witness for the Lord Jesus the Christ. The Bible commands you and expects you to be an obedient witness for Jesus Christ. And if you're not doing that, you're not in obedience. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Charles Wesco said to the commander-in-chief, "Yes, sir." And he visited East Africa, and he visited South Africa, and he visited West Africa, and he ended up in our home there in Cameroon, West Africa. And we had been praying for co-workers for years, and God was leading him to Africa, and the Lord knit our hearts together. And so Charles Wesco and his wife, they went back to the U.S. and they started deputation to prepare to serve the Lord in Cameroon. Now, some of you are from Cameroon. You know the situation. While they were on deputation, this conflict started to arise and this crisis started in Cameroon. And so there we were in the Northwest region, and every day, almost every day, we would hear gunshots and fighting going on between the separatists and the military and so forth. And when the military would say there's a curfew and you don't go out after 6 o'clock, we didn't go out after 6 o'clock. And when the separatists would say, nobody goes anywhere on Monday, we didn't go anywhere on Monday, and we just stayed put. And every time we would leave our house, we'd have to call ahead and make sure there was no fighting and no problems, and then we would go about our business. And as we sought the Lord's direction and prayed and sought the Word of God, we realized that the only way peace is coming to Cameroon is not through bullets and politicians, it's only through the gospel declared by the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Only the gospel can bring peace in Cameroon. That's it. And so by God's grace and His leading, we decided we were going to stay preaching the gospel. We contacted the Wescos. We said, "Now, Brother Charles, you got to make up your mind. Everybody would understand if you didn't move to Cameroon. Everybody would understand, but you need to pray and ask the commander-in-chief what he wants you to do." And they prayed and they fasted and they sought the Lord's direction, and God said, "No, I want you to go." And so they came to Cameroon, as you saw in the video, in October. And they arrived there. And while they were on deputation, there are still videos online. You can see those. While they were on deputation to go to Cameroon, there's a video where Brother Charles makes this statement. He says this, listen, "Serving Christ always comes with a cost. And if you're not ready for that, get your act together, Go back to your prayer closet. This world is not our home. We are called sojourners and pilgrims and soldiers, not people who make big homesteads and focus on living in this world. End quote. Brother Charles, a man who had his could have had his millions, didn't even sell his business. He gave his business away, sold his home in the United States, and took his family to Cameroon, West Africa to preach the gospel. And on that 30th of October, well, even before that, let me just say this. On that Sunday, Brother Charles wrote his first Sunday in Cameroon. He wrote to his father, and in an email he wrote these words. He says, "We do have a very caring and loving God to lean upon, be it here or in the USA, who is beyond doubt in sovereign control of who falls and where and to what weapons, even down to the small sparrow." He wrote those words to his father on that Sunday, his first Sunday in Cameroon. Well, later that week, as you saw in the video, I had been going out to Kumbo. Every Thursday, I would go out to Kumbo, preach the gospel with one of the guys in the Bible college. We would spend the night there. We'd have a Bible study Thursday night. We had about a dozen people attending faithfully, sometimes more, but a dozen core people. And then Friday, I would get up, follow up, disciple, and we would come back to Bamenda. And so, again, I would have to call ahead. And on that particular Thursday, I called, and I called our believers in Kumbo, and they said, "Pastor Ben, there's a lot of gunshots going off. There's a lot of fighting out here. Don't come to Kumbo today. Stay in Bamenda where it's safe." I said, "Okay, we'll do that. Take that advice." I called Brother Charles. I said, "Brother Charles, I know you have a lot of things that you need to do. I can't go to Kumbo today. Let's go to Bamenda." We called ahead. Everything was moving fine. Traffic, everything was safe and sound. And so we got in a car that morning. And we prayed and we said, "God, would you give us opportunities to witness for Christ today?" We started heading down the hill through Bombili and into Bambui. And as we crossed into that village, there's a junction. There's a roundabout there. And it was very quiet that day. Usually there's a lot of people around. What we did not realize was that as we passed through that roundabout that day, our car was attacked. Brother Charles was sitting next to me. His wife Stephanie was sitting behind him. And Charles Jr. was seated behind me in the car. And our car was attacked. And that first gun blast that went off struck Brother Charles. It broke the window, hit him. And the rest of the blast went out the back window right behind Charles Jr. And obviously, I tried to get out of there as fast as I could. There was another gunshot. And shortly after we arrived at the hospital, Brother Charles Wesco was declared dead. We looked at that vehicle. We considered what had happened in those moments. There was so much supernatural activity. If I tried to share, some of you wouldn't even believe me. That first blast that went off, it was a 12-gauge shotgun. It went off. The BBs that were headed my direction embedded in the windshield and did not come through, even though the same blast had just gone through two windows. In the back seat where Charles Jr. was seat-belted, he was seat-belted in that seat. Where the headrest was behind him was riddled with holes from that blast, and nothing touched him. The window where Stephanie was seated did not even break, even though there were BBs all over the side of that car. Nothing broke that window. And the three of us got out of that vehicle without a single scratch. And yet Charles Wesco went to heaven almost immediately. Now let's get back to that question. Brother Ben, why would you tell us that terrible story? Why would you tell us that terrible story in a missions emphasis month? Are you trying to encourage us or discourage us from missions? I want to answer that question again. Why did Charles Wesco go to Cameroon with the gospel? Let's look at what the Bible has to say. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And while you're turning there, I'd like to quote something that when I first went to Bible college my freshman year, we had a missions professor who taught missions, Dr. Daryl Champlin, who had spent many years in Africa and then many years in Suriname, South America as a missionary. He was teaching block classes and he had us memorize what he called the eternal purpose of God. That's a phrase from Ephesians 3:11. The eternal purpose of God, and this is what we memorize. The eternal purpose of God is to call out from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation a multitude redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, over whom He will crown His Son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. I had to memorize that as a freshman in Bible college. Every day we would quote that. And we would get that picture. It's the program of the Bible. The very first command, the very first command in the Bible, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill up the world with people. The first command. Why? Because God had a vision of a world filled with people of different kindreds, tongues, and nations who would worship and serve Him, the King of kings and Lord of lords, forever. That is God's program from command number one. If you have your Bible and you look at the first two chapters of the Bible, that's what you see. God's program. A perfect world, a perfect garden, and a plan to fill up the world with people who are going to worship and serve Him forever. And what happened? In chapter 3, man messed everything up, right? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They brought sin and death into the world. But you know what? There's two chapters at the end of the Bible too. Everything in the rest of the Bible is God fixing the sin problem and God's redemptive program in the world. But when you get to the last two chapters, you see after God has made everything right again, you're going to see a perfect heaven and earth, New Jerusalem coming down, a perfect world with people from every kindred, tribe, and nation worshiping and serving God forever and ever. That is God's program. Are you listening to me? How is it? What is this plan that God has between the first two chapters of the Bible and the last two chapters of the Bible? It involves missions. God sending people out to every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation on earth to preach the gospel. That's His program. Are you with the program? When I was just a young boy in grade school, I've already mentioned in Sunday school, I grew up just outside of Chicago, and my dad was a diehard Cubs fan. Oh my goodness. Every year it was disappointment. Every decade it was disappointment. Every century, well, let's not go that way. It took them 100 years, but they did win the World Series again, all right? But it was disappointment year after year. It was discouraging. You know what? I had no interest in baseball whatsoever. The Bulls were in charge. I was a huge basketball fan. Everybody in Indiana and Chicago played basketball, and that's what I enjoyed doing. But my dad signed me up for Little League Baseball. I was so disappointed. I was on the Wildcats Little League Baseball team. I didn't want anything to do with it. I would go to practices. I would go to games. I think I got on base one time that year because I got hit by a pitch. That's probably the only way I got. I was so not into baseball. It was ridiculous. And one day I was sitting out in right field. Did you hear what I said? I was sitting out in right field during a game. And my coach spotted me out there playing with a dandelion in right field. I was more interested and whether or not I was going to blow all those seeds off that dandelion than I was the baseball game that was going on. And my coach spotted me out there, and he was furious. And standing in front of all of those fans and all of those parents in the stands, my coach yelled at me at the top of his lungs out there in right field, and he said, "Ben, get with the program!" And I stood up. I was so embarrassed. Everybody was staring at me. I was so embarrassed. All my teammates were looking at me and scowling at me. What a loser. We're playing a game and you're out. What are you doing? And in that moment, I need to make a decision. Either I'm going to get with the program or I got to quit baseball, because this is my team is depending on me. The fans are depending on me. I need to get with the program or get out of baseball. And so I thought about it, and all the way home, I finally said to my dad on the way home, I said, "Dad, I think I need to get serious about baseball. I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to be like this anymore. Will you help me?" Of course, my dad was thrilled. He started playing a little bit more baseball in the backyard and taking me to the batting cages. And you know what? The second year in Little League, I got a trophy, Most Improved Player. My coach could tell that I was trying. He could see that I was getting with the program. I wasn't any faster. I wasn't any more athletic, but I was serious about baseball. I was going to the batting cages. We started playing in the backyard. All of our neighbor friends would come over. We literally wore out a diamond in the grass where you could see the path where we would run. My dad spray painted a square on the back porch, and I would practice throwing the ball and pitching and getting it in that square. And you know what? The third year, I got another trophy. MVP, Most Valuable Player. And I can remember the first time hitting my first home run over the left field fence and thinking to myself, "Hey, this baseball is all right. This is why my dad loves baseball so much." Prancing around the bases, you know, that first home run, I started to love baseball. Again, I didn't get any faster. I didn't get any more athletic. What happened? A change of mind. I decided one day, there's a big program going on, and I'm going to get involved. And you know what? There was joy in that. Now listen to me very carefully. Being here and living in the United States of America has not been on my radar for years. You saw in the video, for 20 years we served as missionaries in Cameroon. And I had plans and desires to continue serving in Cameroon. We went back to school. We learned French. I already knew pidgin. We learned French, and I was willing to spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel in French. But you know what? God had other plans. God brought me back to North Alabama. I'm not even sure I knew where that was on the map. Back to the headquarters of Baptist World Mission, so that I could travel the country in days like this with plans I never had a desire to do, to be in this church this morning, to stand from the pulpit. Maybe there are people in here today. You're not running from God. You're not living in deep sin. You're in church Sunday morning. But maybe you're sitting out in the right field of life playing with dandelions. Maybe today you recognize that God has a global program going on. God desires to see people saved from every tribe on earth. What are you doing? What are you doing to reach every tribe on earth? I believe with all my heart, God has brought me here today to stand in this pulpit today and to say to all of you today, get with the program. God has a program. It's a global program. He wants you involved. What are you doing? Are you wasting your life out in right field? Are you serving the Lord, reaching the nations for His name's sake? I ask you to turn to Mark 16:15. I barely have enough time just to read it. Mark 16:15. Most of you probably have it memorized. Jesus said these things to His disciples. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Notice again, it does not say, "I want you to be willing to go." It doesn't say that. It says, go. Do you see that? It says go. It says go ye. Do you see that? Now I know in modern English we don't have a distinction between you singular and you plural, but I'm thankful the King James Version still has ye in there. And you know what that ye means? It doesn't mean you as an individual. It means, as we say down in Alabama, it means y'all. All right? Go ye. This is not a verse for a missionary or one person in here. This verse is for every person in this room. Go ye where? Into all the world. Are you listening to me? Not just the easy places. We have missionaries with our agency. We can't even post what country they're in because they'd probably be murdered or kicked out immediately. But they're preaching the gospel in some of those places. Your pastor said in Sunday school, this world is not getting better and better. Hey, I recognize, I share this testimony of Brother Wesco today to be just as transparent and as honest as I can be. There are difficult places in this world. And you know what God says? Go ye into those places with the gospel. Pastor said it again. I'm just going to echo him again. He said, look, if you're not willing to take the gospel across the street to your neighbor, your coworker, how are you going to take the gospel to the nations? Right. We sang the song, Africa or Asia, the task is up to you. There is no plan B. There's no plan B. God said, go ye into all the world. It starts right where God's put you today. It starts with your neighbor. It starts with your classmates. It starts with your coworkers. It starts with your family. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice the gospel. Not the social gospel. Not the prosperity gospel. Not the health and wealth gospel. The gospel. The good news from this book that you are a sinner, you deserve death, separated from God forever, but God loves you. He loves you so much, He died in your place. And if you'll repent and believe in Him, He will save you today. That gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every tribe, every tongue, every people. Go ye. Get with the program. Now there are some here today, and you recognize God's not called me to Cameroon, Africa, Asia, Europe, South. God hasn't called me to those places. God's called me to be right where I am, and I know I'm in the center of God's will. Then what are you doing to be involved in the program? Are you praying? Are you praying for missionaries? I'm not talking about God bless all the missionaries. I'm talking about getting to know your missionaries, reading their prayer letters, finding out their needs and what's going on their field, and praying so that you can actually mark answered prayers. Specifically, pray for your missionaries this year like you've never prayed before. Get with the program. Give to missions. Your pastor said it. Hey, sending people around the world is expensive. It's not cheap. If you've traveled anywhere, you know that. All right? Some of you can give more to missions this year than you've ever given before. You can get with the program in your giving. And God will honor that, and God will bless that. And pictures of missionaries coming back like we showed today, of churches being established and people getting saved, that is fruit to your account. According to Philippians chapter 4, get with the program in your giving. And then as I close today, I believe with all my heart that there are tens of thousands of people in independent Baptist churches like this one all over this country who are content to tell God every missions conference, God, just want you to know I'm willing to go. And then they close their conscience again for another year.
There are tens of thousands of people across this country that God is saying today, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And you need to say today, God, I'm going to stop with this I'm willing stuff, and I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to obey. I'm going to get with the program. I am going to take the gospel to people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take the gospel to people who can't turn on the TV or the radio or have millions of books in their own language talking about the Bible. I'm going to go to a people who have yet to hear the gospel. I am going to a tribe who needs to hear the gospel. I'm going to get with the program. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to come forward in the invitation and say, I'm tired of playing out in right field. I'm getting with the program. I am getting with the program. By God's grace, I'm stepping out to take the gospel to the nations. I'm going to pray and turn it over to Pastor. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you again for that wonderful program. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you gave the hint that you were preparing a program to save people from every tribe on earth. God, we have the wonderful privilege to get involved in that program. Lord, if there is someone here today who needs to step out in faith and say, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give. I am going to go with the gospel to the nations. I pray today they would not put that off. They would not try to quench your spirit, but in faith they would step forward and say, God is commanding and calling me to go, and I'm going to get with the program. Oh, Lord, be glorified. Be honored in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
It's bowed, nice, closed still. I want to ask you some questions. Nobody's looking around. Hey, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Could you slip your hand up as a testimony? I'm saved. God bless you. You may put your hands down. You're here and you say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know. Would you pray for me? I'm talking to Christians. As God spoke to your heart today, as God spoke to your heart to go, has God spoken to your heart to give, has God spoken to your heart to pray? If God has, and you want to take time at the altar, you come as the piano plays. Thank you, BC. Let's have a couple ushers. We're going to receive a love offering. And if you didn't give your love offering in the earlier offering, we want to give you a chance to be a blessing. Brother Sinclair drove. How many miles did you drive? How many miles was it? What would you say? How many hours did it take you? 10 hours. So we want to help him with his expenses, and we want to be a blessing to him. Amen. And so give as the Lord directs. Make the check out to Independent Baptist Church, and we'll put it all together in one check and give it to him, Faith Independent Baptist Church, and we'll be a blessing to him. That was these messages and testimonies have been just right on, spot on, a blessing to us. Tremendous testimony about the missionary that went. I had no idea. And so bless my heart. Well, let's pray. Tim, pray for us.
Lord, we just thank you for the message for the Lord's heart. ministry will bless the gift and the giver. It is your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Got some Maryland Terps in here. You guys know these guys? All right. Why don't you introduce yourselves? What's your names?
I'm Michael.
Yeah. And you guys wrestle?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. What weight class?
I'm
150. Okay. You ready to whoop up on Penn State this year for me? I take two teams personal. Okay. Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State, wear them out. I take two teams personal in my life, okay? Baltimore Orioles and Maryland Terps. I'm a Terp fan, and I have preacher friends that are Alabama fans. I'll be calling them this afternoon, letting them know about the game yesterday that they lost. We thank you for coming. Appreciate you guys coming and being a part of what's going on here, and for the service, amen. And we found out that Jordan had a friend, which is a miracle. Amen. I got a pick on these guys all the time, Jalen. You know, if you don't, they just get big headed. You know, and so have they seen the finisher yet? Have they seen the finisher? That's like a medieval torture thing, man. I just did this like this. My shoulders are still saying, "Why did you do that?" And so, amen. Well, we're going to eat, amen. And we've got some sandwiches out there, and I think Miss Faye bring something else? I think Miss Faye made some chicken. Miss Faye cooks over at the Maryland University, so you might get some of her food. Amen. So we're going to pray and ask God's blessing on the food. We'd like you to stay fellowship. Look, soon as we fellowship a little bit, we're going to come back in for a short message. We'll ask Brother Ben some questions, and we'll be done for the day. Stay for the whole thing if you can. Okay. I know you have schedules, and I know some of you might have to go, but we'd love for you to stay around and spend time. If the kids are going to fall asleep, just let them fall asleep in the pew. Okay. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. Let's pray for the food. Lord, thank you for the food. We pray that you bless the food and the fellowship. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to dismiss our guests first. Jordan, you got your guest? Take these two fellows with you. You know what?